Hi, this is Adrian Westney Jr., welcoming you to another edition of The More Abundant Life. I'm glad you've joined us today. We're continuing our series that Pastor Phipps is presenting on the Ten Commandments. Today we'll get into commandment number two. But before we do that, here is some very, very special music.
No need to fear when times of trouble come, oppression storm beats at your door. No need to fear. No need to fear, though evil seems so strong. Their pride and power is not for long. Be still, my soul, and trust in God, and place your life into His hands, for He will never fail you. And in the morning you'll see His face. No need to fear. Life's brief day is done, their glories are a setting sun. But as for me, of this I'm sure, God will redeem my soul from death, and He will never fail me. And in the morning I'll see His
No Need to Fear from Wintley Phipps. You are listening to The More Abundant Life. We're going to get right now to the message for today on the Second Commandment.
Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not. O my Lord. He's going to give you houses full of good things which you didn't fill. Have mercy, Lord. And wells dig which you didn't dig. Vineyards and oil, olive trees which you didn't plant. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name, ye shall not go after other gods. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee, and destroy thee from off of the face of the earth. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Some years ago, there was an article in a newspaper listing some laws that had outlived their usefulness, but were still on the book. They were outdated laws that were no longer being enforced because they had no relevance in today's society. One such law they cited was a law in South Carolina that required adult men to carry swords to church. Anyone caught in church without a sword, said the law, was subject to being fined. Now, we're not talking Bibles here. We're not talking about the Word of God here. We're talking real swords. Another law in Vermont required a driver of an automobile to stop at every intersection, turn off his car, get out and look to see if there were any horseback riders coming. And then he was to push the car across the road, get in, start it up, and then drive off until he reached the next intersection, where he would turn around and go through the whole process all over again. Now, those might not make sense to us today, but back then, the people making those laws had some real legitimate reasons for making those laws. For example, in 1918, New York State passed a law that is still on the books today. The law made it illegal for anyone to sneeze in public. Now, that sounds like an awful, silly law today. But back in 1918, people all around the world were dying by the thousands of a flu epidemic. This flu epidemic in 1918 claimed more lives than all of the battles fought in the First World War. So today it seems there is no reason for a law like that. It seems to us that a law like that has outlived its usefulness. And to our contemporary minds, it might even seem ridiculous. But back then, that law was serious business. It was the difference between life and death. Well, to many people today, the Ten Commandments might seem unnecessary and ridiculous. But for us and our children, the Ten Commandments are serious business. It is the difference between life and death. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 56 says that the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Proverbs 6:23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light." Deuteronomy 6:7 tells us, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Talk of it when you sit in your house, when you lie down, when you get up." Now, at first glance, the second commandment, and I'm doing a series on the Ten Commandments. Last Sabbath, we talked about the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, at first glance, the second commandment would appear to young people today as the commandment that has outlived its relevance and usefulness. But we know as parents that there is a reason God told us to teach our young people this commandment. Turn with me to the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verse 1. The book of Exodus, chapter 32, verse 1. The Bible says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down off the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him." In other words, we don't know what has happened to him. And Aaron, who did the Bible say? Aaron said unto them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons." You know, people used to just get down on women for wearing earrings. Back then, the men wore earrings too. So men with earrings is nothing new. Are you with me? Aaron said, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, your daughters, and bring them unto me." And all the people break off the golden earrings which are in their ears, brought them unto Aaron. He received them at their hand, fashioned it with a graving tool. The man of God. Are you with me today? The priest. The preacher. After he had made it a molten calf, and they said, "These be thy gods of Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." In our text, we find Moses here. The Bible tells us because Moses was up on the mountain with God much longer than the people had expected, the people became impatient. The leaders, they went to Aaron and said, "We don't know what has happened to Moses. He brought us out of Egypt, but he's gone now. Let's make a God we can see to go before us." The Bible says that Aaron came up with the plan. to make the golden calf. Aaron said, break off the golden earrings in the ears of your wives, your sons. His plan was to reshape God into something the people could see. He would fashion God into more of what the people were looking for in a God. Aaron's plan was to bring God down to their level. Have mercy, Jesus. Now, I believe a leader should be kind, but I also believe there are times when a leader should be firm. And never should he excuse the bad behavior of God's people. So there are times when I may have to stand before God's people or some of God's people and say, in the name of Jesus, you cannot act like this. The people put so much pressure on Aaron, he buckled to the rebellious wishes of God's people. All right, said Aaron, ask your wives and sons and daughters, take off the gold earrings they're wearing, bring them to me, break off the earrings in the ears of your sons. I tell you, earrings were not a female thing alone. And I tell you this, always in Scripture, when God wants people to consecrate themselves, he asks them to take off what they've got on. Did you hear me today? Never will you find in Scripture that God says, when you dedicate yourself to me, put on the gold. Put on the silver. No, God says, when you are giving yourself to me, take it off. Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him. Oh, as a matter of fact, turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter 35. The book of Genesis. What book did I say? Genesis, chapter 35. Verse 2, everybody, look at a book, look at the word of God. Every eye, find a Bible, borrow, look on with somebody next to you. Genesis 35, verse 2, then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean. Are you with me today? God even says, take off your clothes, change your garments. And look at verse 3. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And look at verse 4. And they gave unto Jacob what? All the what? Strange gods. Are you with me today? Which were in their hand, and all their earrings which were in their ears, and Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. In response to Aaron's plan, the Bible says the people took off, and then Aaron fashioned a golden calf. Now that must have been a whole lot of earrings. That must have been a whole lot of jewelry to make a golden calf. Aaron chose to allow God's people to picture God in the image of a calf. Now, why a calf? Why not a cow or a bull? One writer said it is because the calf is a servant, and the role of a calf is to serve its master. So the role of a calf is to meet its master's needs. You give a calf some grass, you can keep him penned up in a little yard, and that calf will be happy. So the symbolism here is that they were making a god to serve them. Oh, you're with me today? Not a god they would serve. Their god would be their servant, not their master. The symbolism of the calf meant they wanted a dumb god. They wanted a wimpy god. They wanted a god that would remain silent to their evil Help me, Jesus, today. You see, one of the reasons that God was offended by the making of a golden calf is God is always offended, saints, by a bad portrait. Oh, you with me today? Come on, you know in your house, like in my house, there are some pictures you will never frame. Because they don't make you look good. Amen? There's nothing glamorous about being caught with food in your mouth. One of the reasons God commanded us not to make a likeness of his glory to worship is because whatever image of God men create, however skillful it is crafted, no matter the magnificent characteristics it is supposed to portray, it will always be a bad portrait of who he is. The leader said to all the people, "These be thy gods. Hear, O Israel, this is your God who led you out of Egypt. Worship the calf, for this is the God that will lead you to the promised land." And if you have your Bibles, turn back to Exodus 32, verse 5. When Aaron saw that the joy, Lord have mercy, Jesus. When Aaron saw the joy that was brought to the people because of this calf, he got so excited. He said, "We don't only want a calf. I'm going to build an altar to put in front of the calf. And tomorrow will be a festival unto the Lord. Bring your sacrifices, your offerings." And early the next morning, the people brought the animals, offered them as burnt offerings and peace offerings. And the Bible says they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. That play, rose up to play, is a reference to sexual practices. Player. They rose up to play. Now, brothers and sisters, when they substituted, listen carefully, the true God for their own idea of who God was and God is, they sank. A distorted concept of God always affects your behavior. Did you hear me today? A distorted concept of God always affects your behavior. The Lord saw all that happened and said to Moses, "Moses, you better hurry up and get down to those people." Oh, no. The Lord said, "Get down to your people." He said, "Moses, they're not my people. You brought them out of Egypt. I didn't bring them out of Egypt. They rebelled against me. They are corrupting themselves with sexual worship and fertility rites. They're teaching their young people that ugly... they're teaching their young people that that ugly calf represents me." And verse 10 of chapter 32, "Now therefore let me alone." God said, "Leave me alone, Moses." God is upset. He said, "Leave me alone. Let my anger, my wrath wax hot against them that I may consume them. And I will make of you, Moses, a great nation." I'm not going to work with these people. Are you with me today? God said, "I am not working with these people. Now, Moses, I'm going to work with you, and I will use you to make a great nation. When I destroy them, I'll just start over again with you, Moses." Are you with me today? And the Bible tells us that Moses, in verse 11, pleaded with God, "Lord, why would you do this to your own people? Everybody knows it was your power that brought them from Egypt. Even the enemies know they didn't come out of here on their own. Even the enemy knows that they came out on your power." And verse 12, He said, Lord, if you do this, all the nations about you will say, the Lord brought these people out of Egypt and killed them because he couldn't bring them into the promised land. So Moses was working with the Lord now. So don't do it, Lord. Think of how the nations will look down on you, look down on your power, look down on your ability. Lord, you said you would make a great nation of your people. Lord, if you destroy them, what would the people think of your promises? They think you couldn't keep your word. Moses was working with the Lord now. And then he said, Lord, don't destroy your people. Church, the Lord accepted Moses' intercession. And coming down off the mountain, Moses met Joshua, said, I hear people shouting. Sounds like war. Moses said, no, Joshua said, the noise is not the noise of war. It is pagan worship. And verse 19, as Joshua and Moses came within the sight of the camp, they saw the people dancing, participating in sexual worship. When Moses saw all that God had been telling him, you see, up to this time, God had seen what the children of Israel had been doing. Moses had just been hearing about it. Are you with me today? So when Moses actually saw it for himself, he got as upset as God was. Took those Ten Commandments and threw them down, broke them in so many pieces. Then Moses walked into the camp. He ordered them to grind the gold into powder, and they didn't make no more jewelry with it. Poured the powder into the water, made the leaders drink it. Then he turned to Aaron in verse 21 and said, what's going on here? In today's lingo, Moses said, man, what were you thinking? What did these people do to you that you would help them make a golden calf? Aaron said, don't be upset with me. You know these people, they like evil. That's just the way they are. They said to me, we don't know what happened to you. And so I asked them to bring me the gold. We put it together and threw it in the fire, and out came this calf. I can almost hear Moses saying, yeah, right.
Well, that's all the time that we have for today's message. We're going to have to complete and conclude this message in another broadcast. So tune in again to hear the conclusion of this sermon on the Second Commandment. If you would like to obtain an audio copy of today's message, however, please call the Seabrook Church at 301-577-6342. And you want to ask for program number 330. That's program 330. You can also email a request to the Seabrook Audiovisual Department at seabrookav@yahoo.com. Well, until next time, this is Adrian Westney Jr. I hope that all will go well for you. But until you can tune back in again, remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life.